Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
All right, here we go. Mayor John Hamilton joining us on the telephone. Mayor Hamilton, thank you so much for your patience this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Of course. How are you? This is a good day to learn patience, right?
Oh, my goodness. We were just reviewing your press release from, I believe it was late last week or early or Monday, about stressing patience and today. And that's kind of been the motif of our program, because we know how the system works and we know how many people are voting. For us to think that we didn't double the election staff to count all these extra ballots we have, give us your thoughts on the big picture today and the reason behind your press release from yesterday.
Well, thanks. This is a big day. I like to fly my American flag on this day, of course. It's a really important day for our country. I've checked with the police chief, and he's indicated that things seem pretty smooth here in town. I've talked to Nicole Brown, who's our county clerk, and she's reporting smooth operations as well. She wants to encourage more people to get out to vote. As you mentioned, it's open till 6, so another hour and a three quarters or so. But one of the different things this year is because there is so much early voting and particularly mail-in voting, those votes can often take longer to count. And so if it's a race, a jurisdiction, a state, a race that's close, the counting of the mail-in ballots can take many hours, even days. So it just depends on how close a particular election is, but it could be quite a while till we know, and that's okay. That's okay. We just want to make sure we count every vote, that every vote gets counted, they count accurately, and we can be patient for a day or two or four.
Mr. Mayor, let me ask you a question. You've been in this situation, running for office, you probably have a better view of this than most. How do you explain to the people that are on the wrong side of the vote, they're on the side that didn't win? What's your advice to them? And is it just, buckle up and try again next time? Or is there something to be learned from both sides on this?
Well, I've won and I've lost races, and I've certainly, as all of us have, I think, supported candidate to win and supported candidate to lose. And that's kind of the nature of the business. It is really important, I think, for all of us to remember that this is a big, diverse country. There's lots of different views. This is a diverse community, too. There's lots of different views in our own community. And elections are how we make statements and show up and get our votes counted, but we win some and we lose some, and that's okay, and we get back up and do it again. One thing it does remind us, and maybe with an hour and a half plus to go, every vote really can count. There are lots of examples in history where one vote per precinct or even less was what turned an election. So everybody take a breath. Democracy is a great and messy system, and it self-corrects through time. So if you don't win this time, keep working, work on the issues that you care about, and try next time.
Where were you for the Bush-Gore in 2000?
Where was I?
No, the example is that took forever.
Yeah, that took a long time. I actually, it's funny. I was working up in Wisconsin for a week in that election, and was driving home back to Bloomington for about 8 hours during all that stuff. And when I was going through Chicago, Gore won, but when I got to Lafayette, Bush had won. So I was like, wait, what just happened?
Do you think we've learned from those declarations, or whatever we'd like to call them? As you mentioned, you hear in one state they say something and somewhere else. Do you think this time around, if it is nip and tuck like that, that we will hear from the media nothing instead of guessing on what it's going to be?
Well, you know we'll hear something, because media will keep talking about it. Nothing personal here, but, people, we got talking heads, they'll be spouting all night. But I do hope media will be, in general, responsible to say, look, this is okay. This is an election, and we're going to count all the votes. And if, we don't know who won, that's okay. I do think one thing we don't talk about enough is – it's really, in some ways, it's kind of crazy that we have such major differences all around the country in how votes get counted and how you can vote. And in a way, it's helpful because it's so diverse. It's like crazy to try to predict it or affect it in some ways. But it really, first of all, it really should be easy to vote. No one should have to stand in line for hours to vote. We should make it easy. And it really should be a consistent way to know that you can get your vote counted. So I do hope over the years, since Bush v. Gore, you know, it's become really partisan about how voting happens. And, you know, in our own state, we have the two parties have a really different view of how easy to make voting and how easy to make registration and whether to allow mail-in voting. And it's really unfortunate. And I hope maybe in the next federal place we can move forward with that. Because anyway, the media, I hope the media will just remind people, just take a deep breath, let the process work. This is a country of law and order, and we'll get it figured out.
Mayor John Hamilton, thankfully, is on the telephone with us this afternoon after some hoops to jump through. Well, Mr. Mayor, we appreciate your patience. And we always talk on Tuesdays as well. Well, COVID-19 doesn't take Election Day off. We heard today that Todd Rokita, the attorney general candidate, has it. Well, John Elway, the owner of the Broncos, has it. Everybody can get this stuff. But it looks like we have done and are doing, not done, that sounds like it's finished, we are doing a pretty solid job here in Monroe County. As we'll get ready to talk to Chuck Carney tomorrow after the IU dashboard comes out. But we're moving in the right direction by not moving in the wrong direction. I know that's a little ubiquitous, but I think it's right.
Well, yeah, it is right that Monroe County, Bloomington community is generally doing. I was just checking some numbers. We're at about exactly one half the state average level of cases per 100,000 people in the last week. So in terms of kind of the recent, how many people are getting sick in the last week, Monroe County is about one half of the state level. So that's a good thing. And, you know, we want to keep watching those numbers. And we had some risk factors that might have argued we would be higher than the state average, right? If you looked at our population and how we worry about people behaving and that kind of thing. So kudos and hats off to the way things have worked here, the way people have behaved, the masking, the distancing, that really seems to have helped. It's really important to recognize that the state of Indiana is not doing well. So being half of the state is not like we're out of the woods and chasing unicorns and sitting at rainbows. You know, we have a lot of a challenge in front of us. The state is really, in some measures, among the top 10 worst in the country. Our daily deaths have essentially tripled in the state from the last 30 days. Our daily caseload has virtually tripled in the state over the last 30 days. So those are really important and concerning numbers that we've got to see that turn down, or we'll really worry about the hospitalizations and how that's going to affect us. So
should we worry?
Monroe County's doing well.
Should we worry about standing in line for elections and early voting and things like that? Is this going to help anything? I know we have to get to the polls. I know we have to do that. But I just hope everybody was being smart as they went to the polls today or stood in line. Keith and I drove by 6th Street, well, not 7th Street, 6th Street, because right. That's where the line wrapped back around for
yeah,
the last
really,
few
really.
Weeks. So it looked like everybody was behaving, but those are events where you just have people in the same line moving for an hour or an hour and a half. It just makes you a little nervous. But what else are you going to do? Wear your mask and stay away, right?
It does make you concerned, and you do have to recognize that any of us can be infectious at any moment, even when we feel fine. That's why masking, that's why staying 6 feet apart is really important. It is good to be outdoors. That's helpful with fresh air moving around. But we certainly need to recognize if you're in a room with somebody for 15 minutes and you're closer than 6 feet or you're not masked, you really are at substantial risk. And we find so far the data, and Paula Pennycottle will share this, the county health expert, you know, most of the transmission seems to be happening not at big events or a wedding or a football game even or a restaurant. Most of the transmission seems to be happening in social gatherings at homes and smaller settings. So, you know, you get together with friends or you get together with relatives, and if they're not in your household and the ones you live with every day that you have to know you're exposed to, you really have to be extra careful. And as holidays come up, that's the next couple months are really important that we keep on top of this.
Mr. Mayor, we're talking to Mayor John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. And Mr. Mayor, one of the things that you pushed very hard for was the outdoor dining on Kirkwood and some on College and a little bit on Walnut with the parklets. The question became, when the weather switched, what are you hearing from the people? But now, I don't know if you've heard the weather forecast, but beginning tomorrow, we're going to hit several days that are going to be right at the 70s. But what are the merchants and the restaurateurs telling you about? Because to me, what I keep seeing is this is crucial to their survival economically.
Yeah, you know, I actually ate outdoors on Kirkwood today, and talking to the restaurateurs, it is important to them. Of course, weather matters. You know, the student population, we're going to have some students leaving right before Thanksgiving for 2.5 months. We don't know how many students will leave and how many will stay. The restaurants, of course, depend upon weather. You may see some of them putting up canopies and heaters and other things. It's safer to eat outside. It's interesting. I heard you mentioning the convention center and food and beverage. The food and beverage revenue for the city, actually in September, was basically even with last year, which surprised me a little bit. It certainly has gone down some this year, but it appears that the food and beverage sales, at least for that month, really rebounded. And I do think a lot of that is people, some visitors, but fewer visitors, but others buying, taking out food, getting out, and helping people survive this, if we can do it safely, is a good thing.
And we had great weather. Let's not forget that. It did not rain, it seemed like, the entire month
of
September.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's the hard part now, because we're dealing with, we know winter was coming. That's not a surprise. We've already been through the cold season once. Now we're going through it again. So hopefully the restaurant folks have a better way of learned a way to attack it and make that happen. But back to the convention center numbers for a minute. As we move forward, what will be the key indicator, if there is one, Mayor Hamilton, to keep that ball rolling or keep the drive going down the field, for a sports analogy, to keep that happening? I know the county is having some kind of meeting. Marty Hawk told me on the 16th, some kind of Zoom about taking the temperature on where everybody's at with that. So it's just a tough spot right now.
Well, we had agreed much earlier in the year, let's just take a pause and get back together at the end of this year, early next year, to talk about the convention center. The big question ultimately is, what will happen with the tourism and convention center business? It's certainly dramatically changed right now. But what will it look like a year from now? What will it look like 2 years from now or 4 years from now? Because anything we do now is probably going to take 3 or 4 years till we get it done. So it's way too early to forecast that. And I think I actually think it's way too early to even try to predict or understand that. We are in, you know, this is a very popular destination. The whole reason we kind of got into this expansion is because we're the second most popular destination in Indiana, behind Indianapolis, for conventions. We had a very small convention center, so we were losing a lot of business, of people who wanted to come here. Now, it's certainly appropriate to say, well, what is that going to be like in 3 or 4 years? And nobody knows for sure. It is interesting that Indianapolis and St. Louis, I just saw, are both proceeding full speed ahead with some of their expansions, which will take years. But that's a good discussion to have. It's really too early to have that discussion, I think. And I hope people will just recognize, let's, again, pause, take a breath. Let's move forward thoughtfully. But it's really too early, in my view, to make a decision on that.
Mr. Mayor, a couple of weeks ago before IU's last home football game, the announcement was made that Kilroy's was opening up, and it just died out at the last minute. You were a little disappointed that you hadn't been consulted in any way about that. We got another home football game coming up. What's the prospect for Kilroy's being opened, or do you have any announcement or information on that?
Well, I'm waiting by my phone. I haven't had a phone call. I don't have any information about it. I did speak to the owner of Kilroy's, one of the owners ahead of that, and wanted to be sure. I did express disappointment that they hadn't reached out to the city before they opened, and they haven't yet this time. I don't know what their plans are. The main point is just if you're going to do that, you have to be very careful, very organized, make sure you're doing things right. Obviously, we're sensitive to the spread, to super spreader events, potential events like that. And kudos to, again, to many of our bars and restaurants that have been exceedingly careful and collaborative and making their tables 6 feet apart and making sure people are only served while they're seated. And if they're moving from a table to the bathroom, that they wear a mask, all of those things. And I don't know what the plans of Kilroy's is, but if they do want to open, we'll just want to make sure that they do it in a way that's very responsible.
Is that more of a Monroe
and
County?
I guess I'd also say we kind of hope we'll get an upset over Michigan. That'll be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's start there and work our way back. But where is the city's role in determining what business can and can't do? Is that more of a Monroe County Health Department? Or, well, I don't want to get into the legality here, but I know you're a lawyer and you can help me with that. What can the city tell private business to do and not do?
Yeah, look, mostly that decision is under the auspices of the County Health Department, which has issued through the County Health Board the regulations, for example, that legally say you may not serve anyone at a bar, or you may not serve people except those who are seated at a table, and it has to be 6 feet apart. So those regulations have been implemented by the County Health Board, which is a statutory body set up under state law, actually. And we help implement those. Actually, any law enforcement officer, as I understand it, through that regulation has authority to implement those. So our police help with that if needed. And when we connect with business owners, often in a collaborative way, we say, look, you know, just make sure you're complying with all this. And County Health Department is extremely busy, as you might imagine. So a lot of us try to help them out. We even have firefighters on their shifts late at night, going into places to check for occupancies. And while they're there, they can check for where the table placement is and bar service and those kinds of things. So it's very collaborative. But ultimately, the legal authority is with the County Health Department, with the only exception that the city has put in place this smaller social gathering limit. 15, that applies in private settings, in homes, and not in establishments like restaurants or bars.
Mayor John Hamilton's our guest this afternoon. The city of Bloomington is, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, as you mentioned, November. We're going to have some great weather here, some football and everything else that's going on. What is next in the city council? What is next? What's the next big business thing that we have to watch on our plate moving forward? We know COVID's with us every single day. We know the results of the election are coming up. Is there anything before we get to the end of the year that residents and citizens should be focused on besides raking their leaves, not into the street and getting them on the curb?
Well, thank you. Yeah, of course, we all enjoy the holidays. I think we're wrapping up some of the fiscal bows and tying things down for the end of the year, but that shouldn't be too dramatic. There is a fairly significant zoning map process that's begun just in the last couple weeks that will run probably 6 months or so. But there are public hearings that will go in the next few weeks looking at zoning and whether we change how we build our built environment. So watch for that, and we'll get a lot of involvement from different people as we think about that. How do we help more people live in the city of Bloomington and live comfortably and affordably? And then I guess it's probably worth mentioning, too, we hope by the end of the year to have wrapped up the planning, the master plan for the hospital reuse. Now, that's a document that it's really kind of a vision document, but that should be in front of council November 18th and then wrapped up by the end of the year. So that's an important process over the next few weeks, too.
Mayor Hamilton, we thank you for your patience and your insight today. Great job, as always. We appreciate it, and we hope next Tuesday goes a little smoother.
Yeah, we'll replace
thanks
the hamsters.
Good luck.
Oh, we need some luck sometimes. Thanks,
guys,
John. We appreciate
have a good
it.
Week. Take care.